appreciate that wonderful singing, that be able to rejoice and praise the Lord through song. Now we open up the Word of God to let the Lord speak to us through His Word. Probably about 5 weeks ago, I believe it was Jesus, and I'm not remembering that for sure. The Lord woke me up, and when He does, speaks to my heart, and go open your Bible, I want to show you something. And whatever He shows me, I know it's going to be all right because it's His Word and Him doing. But He knows what we need. He knows what I need. So that particular night, the passage fell open where my thumb was. And the Scripture said, the voice of the Lord. So I read that portion of God's Scripture concerning the voice of the Lord. And then He spoke to me and says, count the number of times in the Bible I use that same phrase. The voice of the Lord. I was excited to find out the number was 50. 50 is so significant. So everything in the Word of God, He just does all those gold nuggets in there and for purpose, for reason. The number 50, of course, is the number that 50 days between the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, many infallible proofs He was walking. And then He went on to heaven on the 40th day. And then on Pentecost, the 50th day, they were assembled in the upper room. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the number 50, the Holy Ghost was given, and the room was filled, and the Holy Ghost came and dwelt with them for the first time. Of course, Jesus, of course, the angel the dove came from heaven and lit on him and permanently stayed. But that was the first time for the indwelling power. So the number 50. And 50, of course, means the 50th day. Remember, it's the second important feast that the Jews had. And they had that feast that count yourself 7 Sabbaths. And tomorrow, 7-7-49, tomorrow following shall be Pentecost. So 50. So I went through and read all those. And then on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago, we began preaching on the series that the Lord will give us. This is the second part about the number 50, the voice of the Lord. So He said do it chronologically in the Word of God. Genesis is the first time He mentioned it. So let's go back briefly and look at that first time again. Now remember, when He does something, it was for the Adam and Eve as they were walking in the garden, the voice of the Lord spoke to them. But we can learn something from every time the voice of the Lord is mentioned. It just wasn't for Adam and Eve, it was for you, it's for me. Let's look how He puts it all together. First of all, we see there is an awareness. The reason Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord is because they'd sinned, they'd transgressed. And the Lord was there in the cool of day, and they expected Him to come, and they were hiding. But He wanted to make them absolutely sure of the awareness of His presence. And now today, as we go through life, He wants you and I to make sure that we're aware of His presence. He knows my thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He knows where we are. He knows what we'll be doing tomorrow. Let's read the text together and awareness of God's presence. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Eve had sinned. Adam had sinned. They knew better. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And we know better today. We know what sin is. And James says that any man know to do good and doeth it not, to him is the sin. None of us do all we know to do, so we sin. But God wants to make sure that we're aware of His presence when we do sin. And then the Holy Ghost convicts us of that sin, and Jesus said, I'll be your advocate. We can ask forgiveness of that sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of both them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord. First time he uses that phrase, of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. The voice of the Lord spoke. And when the voice of the Lord speaks, he enables us to hear it. You say, have you heard it audibly? No. It's clear as it can be. He speaks to my soul. And he spoke to Adam that day. He was fully aware. And he said, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And you and I, God sees us. And before the Lord, we're naked. I'm not talking about physically naked. But he knows every thought, every deed, every act, every intent of the heart. And so he just wants to let us know that the voice of the Lord still speaks to us, convicts us of that sin, and we are keenly aware that he is always present with us. We are aware of the presence of God. Then the second time he speaks would be in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. He makes an appeal now to him. And after we hear the voice of the Lord, if we sin, which Adam and Eve had, and many times we sin, he makes an appeal to us to hearken to that voice. Now we hear him speak, and we should never take it for granted that he's just speaking for some unknown reason. He wants to make sure that we are aware of his presence. He knows your thoughts. He knows where we are. He knows when we commit that sin. And now he wants to make sure that he gives an appeal to us, that whatever he says, we need to hearken, to listen, to make sure that we're keenly aware that he's there to help us out. Now, he scolded and he brought reproach because they brought reproach on him, on Adam and Eve. But thank God he did offer them covering. Took blood to get those covers of an animal, which represents the fact that Calvary is in the distant future and God would give his own begotten son for the sins of the world, and that covering for our lives would be the shed blood of Jesus. Let's look at the appeal that we ought to always hearken to the voice of God. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord shewed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. The bitter waters of life, they come to every one of us. Normally, they come because sin. I know Adam sinned, Eve sinned, and she was the mother of all living, and we were born in sin, shaping iniquity. And then we look this morning at the fact that we do sin. And he said, we do sin. And if we don't do all that we know to do, we sin. But he forgives that sin. Now, he's going to make an appeal to them that I'm aware of your sins, and I want to make sure that you hearken to me, because if you listen to what I say, now he speaks four times here. He speaks one time, but he says four different things about that. Let's read together in verse 26. And said, if thou will diligently hearken, he's making an appeal, I'll speak to you. They've been bickering and complaining. He led down the place where the water was bitter. He did it for a reason. Sometimes in our life, we go through bitter experiences. And it's always for a reason. And the reason could be the fact that he wants to make us aware of his presence. And he wants to make us aware that he is going to give an appeal. Now the appeal was draw close to me, and when you sinned, and they had sinned all right, they were complaining to Moses. And when we complain to God about anything, we sin. Because we ought to know that God arranges things. He's the orchestrator. He's the one that has designed it all, spoken it all. And he leads me and guides me. And when the waters are bitter in my life, when things happen and I think they're bitter, he's appealing to me. And the appeal will always be, hearken to my voice. Listen to what he says in verse 26. If I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. And notice every time, all 50 times, the word Lord is always capital L-O, all capital letters. And that means Jehovah. Every time Jehovah is speaking through his word, and not only did he speak to the children of Israel because they had sinned and complaining and did not recognize that he led them there to that bitter water for a reason. What was the reason? That when they threw in the tree was the cross, the type of cross of Jesus Christ. And the only thing that can make the bitter experiences sweet is the cross of Calvary. What he accomplished on the cross. And so, instead of complaining, when another bitter experience has come my way and yours, let's look at the cross. Take advantage of all the opportunities to say, hey, it could be a lot worse. And Calvary covers it all. I love the song. Calvary covers it all. Everything in my life and yours that will draw us close to him and make those bitter experiences sweet will be because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Let's keep reading. And said, if thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to the commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let's spend a little time on that verse. Notice he says four things he wants them to do. He has said, hearken, listen, pay attention to. I brought you to the bitter waters to let you know some things. And these four things we'll look at briefly. Look what he says first. To do right in his sight. Because he looks at us, and the Bible says that in the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eye. But the problem with that, and it was a big problem, the way we look at things is entirely different than the way God looks at things. His ways are higher than our ways. And we look at things and we try to filter it out and we try to make judgment, but only God is true. So he says he's the one doing the judging. Now his word has told us what's right. We already know that. And he has said, hearken to the fact that I make an appeal to you to do that which is right in my eyes and not your eyes. The second thing he wants them to do, look at the verse, is to heed his commandments. We already know what his commandments are. And a lot of people say, I just can't do all those things. But Jesus disagrees with it. My commandments are not grievous. My ways aren't your ways, and I'll lead you to the path, and it's, take up the yoke and follow me. My yoke is easy. How can we make something he called easy hard? We're following the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're leaning to him. We're hearkening to the appeal now. And he says, just do that which is right in my eyes, and heed my commandments. In other words, if I command it, don't forget it. Understand it. Know it. But the third thing he says, keep all my statutes. Because his statutes are true. The book of Psalms, particularly in Psalms 119, gives over and over and over the statutes of the Lord. They're pure, they're holy. So we know them, we've read them, we understand them. And David says, thy word of God have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So he tells us four things, folks. Do that which is right. And then he tells us the second thing, keep my commandments. Third thing is keep all his statutes. Well, what does he promise to do? Look what he says. He will keep us free from diseases. the type of diseases that he gave to Egypt. Egypt had all those plagues because they wouldn't listen to God. And God says, I'm in control. Just like I gave all those plagues to the world, Egypt, the type of the world, I'll give to you. But you can keep in front of me if you will do that which is right, if you will heed my commandments and keep my statutes. Those three things, I won't send those diseases that I've sent to the world on you. And God is the one that's doing the judging. Look what God really wants to do for his people. He can and will and has sent plagues. Remember, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. But the verse before says, if I send pestilences, and he has sent pestilences, and God's right in sending pestilence. Brother Randy has already said, how could God love us? Because he's God. How could we give our children for sinners and for drunks and God haters? None of us could do that. But God not only could, but he did. And he's just asking three simple things. Just do that which is right. Keep my commandments and keep my statutes. And if you'll do those three things, I won't send the world's diseases upon you. I'll forgive your sin. I'll hear your land. But look lastly in that verse what he really wants to do. The Bible says, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God wants to send healing to his people. And he will, and he desires to. But God will not do that which he said he wouldn't do. And he says, I can only bless you according to how you keep my word and keep my commandments and do that which is right. And he won't go against his word. But his heart's desire is to heal us. And rather than pestilence, and rather than plague, and rather than diseases that the world gets, he wants to heal us. Well, why don't he? Obviously, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? It's pretty obviously that the world, and even me, you'll have to speak to yourself, have not completely done that which is right in his eyes. And I can't give myself a report card. If I did, it'd probably be a 0.1. I remember one time I was talking to a preacher friend of mine. We were on the radio station together, right after each other, and he made a statement. He said, I want you to answer a question for me. Will Kent. He said, there's this church, he named the church. He said, they preach a different doctrine than the Bible teaches. And he told me what it was. He said, do you agree that's wrong? That's contrary to the Word of God. And I said, it sure is. He said, but this is why they don't understand. God's been blessing, and he's been saving and saving and saving that church. And how could that happen when they're not keeping? And the Lord gave me the answer. It's so simple. I said, well, let's just look at something. Let's put a judgment factor on you and I and that church compared to God. Now, God's a billion times a trillion in his rightness, in his perfection, everything, right? You agree with that? I said, so if I'm judging myself, I'm not even a one. I'm probably 0.9, not even a one. And yeah, they did wrong and contrary to the Word of God, but they're probably maybe 0.8. Not much difference in 0.8, 0.9 compared to a trillion times a trillion. So that's the way God looks at it. He doesn't look at everything. He looks at the heart. I studied and I prayed and I preached about the fact that David had a heart after God. God said he's got a heart after my heart. Yet he sinned and he sinned and he sinned and he sinned. But God says, I don't look at the physical, I look at the heart, the intent of the heart. Now, we don't understand that because we can't look at the heart. You and I look at actions. They didn't do what God said do, but God's looking at their heart. Maybe they didn't know, but maybe they didn't understand. But you see, we just do right according to the way God tells us, and his word tells us. And if they're God's people, he'll correct them sooner or later. So God blesses, and he gives peace, and he gives prosperity, and he gives his love to those people who have a heart after him. And if you do right in God's eyes, and you desire to do it, you have a heart for him. So we've looked at an awareness of God's presence, an appeal to hearken to his voice. But thirdly, the third time he mentions it is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. The children of Israel now, remember, God took Moses upon Mount Sinai, and upon there he gave the law. Some other things he did, the whole mountain was burning with fire. The people are down at the bottom, and they heard God's voice. And God wants to send down an alarming statement about the awesome power that he had. And he wants to send it to you and me. It's not just for them. Because God not only makes us aware of his presence and gives an appeal to us to hearken to his voice whenever he speaks, for whatever reason he speaks, but now he wants to make sure that we have an awareness of his awesome power. Let's read the text together. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And Moses called, verse 4, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. So it's not just a head belief. I want you to know what they are. I want you to heed them. I want you to learn them. And I want you to do them. He said the same to you now. He's already said it. He said in the previous text that we read in Exodus. He wants us to understand what he says. He makes an appeal to do that which is right, to keep his commandments and his statutes. Now he's telling Israel the same thing in verse 2. Our Lord, the Lord our God, made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with their fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. If we've ever realized how personal it is. He said, God did this to us. He made the covenant with us. And we read the word of God, and God made the covenant with Abraham. God made the covenant with David. And now, by the grace of God, Christ Jesus came into the world and died for sinners. And he said, if you'd believe on me and accept me and repent of your sins, there's a covenant. That's an everlasting covenant. I'll save you. I'll secure you. I'll get you home. I'll adopt you. You'll be my child. It wasn't just for my forefathers. It was for me. It's for us. We need to understand the personality of this. Verse 3. The Lord made not this covenant with their fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to shew you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up unto the mount, saying, you know, you and I, when we were in sin, Moses, of course, said, I stood between you and God. If I had, you had been consumed. But God sent his son to stand between us and the Father. The Lord here is mentioned, capital letters again. It's God. It's Jehovah God he's talking about. And God was a consuming fire. The whole mountain was on fire. And God spoke. And they were afraid. But there was somebody to stand in between. Let's keep reading. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. And then he lists those 10 commandments, of course. We don't have the time to go through them. But God is reiterating the fact of the 10 commandments. I'm telling you what I want, and I want you to know it. And remember the power, the awesome power, the display. The whole mountaintop was on fire, and you heard his voice, and you would have been consumed, but I stood between you and God. Let's skip down to verse 22. These words of the Lord spoken to all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto you. Remember the Ten Commandments, two tables of stone. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, we sang about it today, upon a solid rock we stand, that is Christ Jesus. And he writes those commandments in their heart and in their life that we can keep them, that we won't sin against them. And it says in verse 23, and it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God hath shewed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Here's your verse, verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. He is wanting them, they have such a fear. They go back in their memory to when the mountain was on fire. Can you imagine? Not just the fire that we see. We've seen fires and the mountains burn, but this is God in the fire. They heard the voice of the Lord their God. And it was an awesome, fearful thing to see the mighty God that could burn a mountain. And now he is saying, I've written my law upon these two stones. He tells us, I've written the laws upon the tables of your heart, that you won't sin against me, that you'll do right in my sight, that you'll keep my commandments, that you'll keep my statutes. And if you will, I'll keep you free from all the pestilences I send in the world, because I really want to heal you. And I really want to fellowship with you, because I'm a loving God. I died for you. You belong to me. Just letting these people know. And there was a go-between. That go-between was Moses. Let's keep reading now. Verse 26, for who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and live? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord thy God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. In other words, they're saying we need a go-between. We don't want to have to face the awesome, powerful, wonderful God again in the fire. We need a go-between. Moses said, I'll be the go-between. Of course, that was the type of Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about every time we've read it so far anywhere, it's been capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God. But thank God, he is a God of love, a God of comfort, but he's also a God of judgment. But thank God, he sent the go-between. We couldn't get to God. And we would have been afraid and we would have feared. We had to stand before God, the Creator God, Jehovah God. But God sent his Son. God sent his Son to love us, to woo us, to forgive us. We read about the bitter waters. Sometimes there are bitter experiences. But God sent his precious word, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. The love of God through his own precious Son, Jesus Christ. And they were afraid. They didn't want to face God. Neither do I. I cannot face the holy, righteous, wonderful, powerful God without a go-between. That would be Christ Jesus. He is their advocate. He says, when you sin, not if you sin, we do sin. When you sin, confess it to me, and I'll take it. And then he tells, now the devil is their accuser. We're told in the book of Job that Satan, somehow, I don't understand it, but God always right, is accuser of the brethren before God. But then when we pray the cry of Jesus, he gives forgiveness through his shed blood. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he can look over at the Father and say, it's okay, it's a family matter. They're in my family. And God don't see that sin. He's looking at you and I through the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiven. Awesome. Powerful. God that we do not, nor do we have to stand before without a representative, Christ Jesus, our Lord. A couple more verses. Verse 28. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when he spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and well with their children forever. And God allowed all this to happen to let them know an alarming reminder of a powerful, wonderful God that loved us so much he was willing to send his own precious son. Would you stand? Your head's bowed. The last verse of that chapter, verse 33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may have, that you may live, and that may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land you shall possess. See, God's a loving God, but he hates sin. Tell us over and over and over. He is willing us over and over by the voice of the Lord through his word. Just do that which is right. Keep my commandments and live. I want to heal you. I have no desire to send pestilence, diseases. But you got to love me. You got to put me first. You have to do what I say to do. The voice of the Lord reminds us of that. Many, many ways. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious word and how you spoke in the precious word and told us the voice of the Lord. God, help us to be aware that your presence is ever with us. You see and you know everything. And I pray, Father, that we'll always be about your business. And when we fail you, and we do often, forgive us, Father. You want to hear it individually, not just, yes, forgive me of all my sins. But God, when we sin, just like you told Adam and Eve of their sin, your presence is with us. And you speak to our hearts and tell us that we sin. We need to confess it. They confess it to Jesus, forgive their sin through the shed blood. Because someday the world is going to stand before a holy God, a God of fire. But those that are saved will be represented by the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ, sins forgiven. Thank you for this blessing. And God, there's so much else, the other 47 that you mentioned, the voice of the Lord in your precious word. And God, there's no telling the meanings of all those that you give me the opportunity to study and to show myself approved and speak to my heart and let me see what you intended in your word by listing all these sequentially. We love you, Jesus, and we bless your holy name. In that name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Mr. Brendan, Brother Ray, would you come play some song of invitation? Altar's always open. You might want to do business with God. You might want to come and confess that into him. It's a lot better than facing the judgment of God. Get all out in the open. Confess it to him. What he wants you to do. Then we ought to always remember our God is a loving God, but he expects and demands allegiance to his son, Jesus Christ. All is open. As they play.